Have any of you ever heard that song before? No? You have, Candy? Yeah. It's normally a children's song. This is a little bit of a jazzed up version of it. But it relates to the parable that Jesus told about the 10 virgins and their lamps. 5 of them carried extra oil with them and 5 didn't. And it was on the screen. I hope you read it. But the lesson there is to be ready, because you don't know when the Lord is coming back. You don't know when he's going to appear in your life in a different way, as we've heard testimony of this morning. Meeting some of our needs, answering some prayers, just appearing to give us a glimpse of his glory, perhaps as we look up at the night sky or a rainbow. We need to be ready. We need to have our ears open and our eyes open, because we never know when we're going to see him. And we certainly don't know when he's going to return. But in looking at all the things that are going on in the world today, all the violence, every time I turn on the news, there's something else going on. And it just breaks my heart that people are so much at each other's throats, so to speak. It shouldn't be. We're blessed that we're part of his kingdom, because we love each other. We experience his love and his grace. But here again, that parable, and even this song, is kind of a warning to us. The Lord is coming back, and we need to be ready. And we've been studying in our Bible study the book of Revelation. I know it's been a couple of weeks, we haven't had a chance to meet, but we're pretty far along this time. And one of the things that has come to light, I think, for a number of us, is that with all the horrible things that have been foretold that's coming upon the earth, through much of that, the Bible makes reference to the fact that there are believers still on the earth. One of the things that is a common belief in Christian circles is that we're all going to be raptured before any of this starts, and we won't be here. But in going through the book of Revelation, we find out that there are a number of places in the midst of all of these things that are going on where it makes reference to the fact that there are still believers on the earth. So we're going to experience a lot of these things. We're going to see some of this devastation that is going to occur before God pours out his final wrath on the earth. All of these things that we've been reading about is just leading up to that point in time when he's going to pour his wrath out upon the earth and upon all the people that hate him or refuse to accept him, who don't want anything to do with him. So you might ask, why would God allow us to go through a lot of that stuff? What's the purpose? Why do we have to see a lot of this destruction and warfare and everything? Why do we have to go through all that? I used to wonder that too. But it's all so that we're ready, that we are prepared. And I got some scriptures here, just a couple. You can put the first one up. This kind of gives us the answer in a sense, in a nutshell. Even though this passage is speaking about husbands and wives, it makes reference, as you'll see in a moment. It says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. We are to be spot-free and wrinkle-free by the time the Lord comes back. We are to be washed by the Word in order to remove all the spots and wrinkles that remain in our lives. Now, it is true, once we accept Jesus in our lives, in our hearts, we are washed from sin. Okay, we are cleansed. God doesn't remember our sins anymore. They're done away with. They're gone. But let's face it, we still have issues with ourselves, our lives. We still have attitudes. We still make mistakes. We still harbor, like I said, maybe certain attitudes. Maybe our thought life isn't what it should be. Maybe we still have some habits that are not pleasing to God. All these things are spots and wrinkles. And God wants to remove them from our lives. Why? Well, God is in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. God is pure. Everything in heaven is pure and holy. And we need to be made pure and holy to be received into heaven with God. And that means removing all the spots and wrinkles in our lives. When the Lord returns, he wants to present to himself a glorious church, perfect, holy, without spot or wrinkle, worthy for him to come back to take with him into his kingdom. Well, it says that, no, the back one. Yeah. He wants to cleanse us with washing of water by the Word. That's how these spots and wrinkles are removed. And it's interesting that he uses the term washing, because there's a nice little analogy to this. Let's say you have a piece of clothing. Okay, it's got some spots on it. Maybe it's got a gravy stain. Maybe there's some grass stains. It's wrinkled because you've been wearing it. What do you do with it? You wash it, right? You put it in the washer. Is it just water? No, you add some detergent that attacks the stains, removes the stains. So you put the piece of clothing in the washing machine, whether it's a front loader or a top loader, it doesn't make any difference. You got water in there, you got detergent in there. Think of yourself as that piece of clothing. So you got some detergent working on you. You start tumbling around, or you're being agitated for a top loader. Water up to your neck. You feel like you're going to drown. Process of washing isn't pleasant, is it? Whether it's in a washing machine, or even whether you're being washed by the Word, because the Word touches our innermost being, challenges us, reveals things that are hidden within us. And then after the wash cycle and the rinse cycle, you're pulled out of the washing machine, and guess what? You got some wrinkles. Even if you're permanent press, you still got some wrinkles. Yeah, I see. Yeah, all right. You know. So then what do? You get out the hot iron, and you put the piece of clothing on the ironing board. I don't know how many of you iron. I used to, actually. Don't anymore. I don't care about a few wrinkles, but God cares. Okay? So you get that hot iron with pressure. Oh, can you just feel that heat? Sometimes that's what the Word does to you. You feel the heat of it. But it's all necessary to get out those spots and wrinkles, because God wants us to be pure and holy. And I think that's one reason why we go through a lot of the trials that we go through. Why we will have to experience some of the things like are described in the book of Revelation in the last days before he returns. It's all meant to purify us. As this next scripture tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Mm-hmm. Isn't that one of your favorite scriptures? No, right? If we're honest, no, it's not, right? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So patience works in us that completeness, that perfection that God wants to create in us. How do you get patience? Well, you have to wait for something, right? You cry out to God, I have a need. He answers, but not always in the way we want and not always in the time frame that we want. And that's where patience comes in. We have to learn to be patient, to wait on God and trust Him. There's another scripture in Isaiah that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Patience is a wonderful thing. It works so much good in us. But we're not born that way, are we? And society these days wants everything right away. You don't need to be patient. Yeah, just go to McDonald's, you get your meal right away. That's the way we want it, right? You go to shopping, go shopping, and you go to the store, everything's right there. Just throw it in your cart until you get to the checkout line. That's where you learn patience. But patience helps increase our faith. It helps us to trust the Lord more. Because when you wait on the Lord and you see Him provide for you, meet your need, do whatever, you learn that you can trust Him. You learn that He's faithful. And if He was faithful in something that you needed Him to do before, it's easier to trust Him for the new thing that you need Him for, and so on. And our faith grows. But it says here, patience has a perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Getting out all those spots and wrinkles. Okay? So when you're in a trial, praise God. Be joyful. Because it's working patience in you. It's working God's perfect work in you. It's getting out all those spots and wrinkles. It's going to happen regardless. So you can either drag your heels and fight every inch of the way, resist, whatever. It doesn't matter. God is going to create that in you. So the best thing to do is rejoice. Okay, Lord, I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to meet this need. I know it's all going to work out. I know that I'll come through this. So you might as well have the right attitude going through it rather than struggle and fight and be miserable. But there's one more scripture, and this one is from Revelation, where it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. This scripture is at a time, or is in a chapter that describes what the Antichrist is trying to do, to give everybody the mark of the beast, that you can't buy or sell without the mark, where he is trying to exercise control over the whole world. There are still Christians in the world at that time. Otherwise, why does it say, here's the patience of the saints? To endure. Remember, Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. Here's a trial of the patience of the saints. Are you going to trust God to get through this? In the midst of all of this that's going on in the world? all this havoc and turmoil and strife? Are you going to trust him? Or are you just going to give up and say, what's the point? He's not coming back. But he is. It's a trial of our faith and trial of our patience. Because God has something beautiful planned for each one of us. So that when he returns, that we may be clothed in pure white robes, without spot or without wrinkle, shining as gloriously and radiantly as he does, because we're going to be as perfect as he is. But getting to that point is a process, and sometimes painful process. But he is coming back. We need to be ready. We need to be prepared. There are things that we're going to have to go through. I don't like saying these things, but I wouldn't be doing my job if I'm not saying to you that we all need to be ready. And it's not being ready for him to come back and rapture us all to be with him before any of this happens, because it's not going to be that way. Part of being prepared is knowing what's coming and determining in your heart and in your mind, in your innermost being, that you're going to trust the Lord no matter what happens. You're not going to be like the five virgins that didn't carry that extra oil with them. You're going to be ready. You're going to be prepared. So when he comes, here I am, Lord. And thank you for making me spotless. Thank you for taking all these wrinkles out. Even though it was a hard process, you go through that process, you're going to be ready. Ready to meet the Lord. And he's going to welcome you into his kingdom. He's going to say, you are worthy because you have been cleansed. You have allowed me to remove every spot and every wrinkle from you. And he's going to welcome you into his kingdom with open arms because you've been made perfect. So, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. Those difficult times are coming. Still could be several years, many years before he actually comes and sets foot on the earth again. But with all the things that we're seeing, it's getting tough out there. It's getting to be unsafe in a lot of ways. You just never know. We see stories out there all the time. Things happening to innocent bystanders. It's a terrible shame. But even with that, God loves each one of us. He will protect us. And even if something terrible should happen to us, we'll go to be with him. But to the extent that we need to go through these things, as James said, let's count it all joy. Because the end result is worth it. Spending eternity with God in his perfection and us being perfected with him, it's worth it. The pain that we went through, that we might have to go through, still doesn't compare with what Christ experienced on the cross. And if he went through that for us, we should be willing to go through whatever we have to in order to be purified just like he is. So, keep that in mind, knowing that there will be some tough days ahead, but God is with us, and he will see us through. You will be made perfect. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's difficult speaking about some of these things, but yet it's in your word, Lord. And we know that it's not just us, Lord. Your people throughout the centuries have experienced terrible things. Just reading the 11th chapter of Hebrews is a good example of some of the things that others have gone through, some unpleasant things. But they too, Lord, were made perfect because of what they experienced. And we know that you're working in us, Lord, that perfection, cleansing us, removing every spot, every wrinkle. And how glorious it will be in the end, Father, when Jesus again sets foot on the earth to claim us as his own and take us to be with him. Yes, we might have to suffer in the meantime somewhat, but help us, Lord, to look upon these things for what they truly are. Your work in us to perfect us and make us worthy of our calling to be with you in eternity. Help us to have that attitude, Lord, and to count it all joy, even though it may be extremely difficult. For we know, Lord, that you are faithful. You are merciful. You are kind, loving. And you will be with us every step of the way. Help us, Lord, to be ready for that day when you return. For no one knows when it will be. But we want to be, Lord, like those five virgins that had that extra oil for their lamps. That when the Master called, they were ready and they came in to the marriage feast. Help us to be like them, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the work you're doing in us. We praise you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.